Nabi al-Karim, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has stated that when I went on the night of Mi'raj, when I ascended the heavens, I saw an individual that he was immersed in the light of Arsh-i Ilahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arsh, the throne of Allah, he was immersed and drowned within the Nur, the light of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This experience was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Mi'raj. The night of Mi'raj, yani the night of Mi'raj, the ascension to the heavens, is such a night that within which Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given such a maqam, a status, a level, a rank by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that before this no Nabi, no Rasul was given this maqam, this level. That was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was sent to this world with the transportation, with the mode of transportation. And with that mode of transportation, first and foremost, they went to Baytul Muqaddas. And all of the prophets who had ever come to the earth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them as imam. He was the imam, the leader of those prophets at that time. And then from there, from Baytul Maqdis, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set forth on the journey. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. On every heaven, on every level, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was introduced to different prophets of Allah alayhi salam. And Allah ta'ala showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the experience of paradise and the punishments that the people will get in Jahannam, in the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ was shown these things. And as they were progressing in the journey, such a place came, a maqam came, where the end point, you could say, before this, nobody had attained this level or this physical positioning. And when they got to that place, that physical place in that journey, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said, I cannot go further than this. This is to the limit of my capability. And then Rasulullah ﷺ went further across that point, beyond that point, and was given higher levels, higher maqam. And the next maqam, the next level, was the physical meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And here, Nabi al-Kareem, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given the greatest rank and status, and he was crowned the mahbub, the beloved of Allah. Mahbubiyat, the mahbub of Allah, the beloved of Allah. And the color of such this gift that Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon Rasulullah Sallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. O my Mahbub, O my beloved, you have become so beloved to me, so close to me. I love you so much. The فَاتَّبِعُونِ, that if somebody imitates you, follows you, then يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, then he becomes my beloved automatically. Automatically, great rank, status, glory that was given to Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Due to his sadqa, we have got this today. We should be so grateful. We should be so grateful on the maqam of shukr that Allah ta'ala has given us such a Nabi and made us his ummati. And one thing Allah ta'ala said, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That's it. Tell me. Tell your ummah, O Prophet, O my Nabi, O my beloved, there's no other action that will take you to my nearness, Allah says. And so close, the Mahbub, he is my beloved, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my beloved. And if you do what I tell you, then you will become my beloved. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, Allah says. Look at this statement. There's no restriction here, no limitation here, no special effect here, or statement here that, oh, if this person imitates you, then he will attain the nearness. There's no special deed here. Allah says, if you imitate just that deed, rather it's a common statement, general, open statement. Allah Ta'ala has given open land. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, whoever follows you in whichever way, if he follows you the way you wore your shoes, then he becomes my beloved. If that believer imitates you the way you slept, O my Prophet, then he will become my beloved. If that believer, mu'min, drinks water the way you drank, he'll become close to me. If he wears the attire libas the way you wore libas, he will come close to me. If he follows and adopts a way that was like yours, then he'll become close to me. So if you look at the whole way of life, from beginning of to the end of life, the whole life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we've been given an open playing field. Allah Ta'ala says the whole life of yours is a field to attain the nearness of Allah and Allah Ta'ala's love. Allah Ta'ala is merciful to us. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. That if we, whatever we are, however we are, if we start to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imitate him, obey him, follow him, then we will get near to Allah, closer to Allah, closer to Allah, closer to Allah. This is what will happen. So what we realize here is that in the dunya, in the world, all of the mahbubeen of Allah, the walis of Allah that have passed in history, the beloveds of Allah, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, the people who are close to Allah, whoever they were, they had one degree certificate due to which they became the beloved of Allah. If they didn't have that certificate, that methodology, then they could never be the mahbubs of Allah, the beloveds of Allah. The Quran has said this clearly. Take everything of yours to the side. All your qualities, ibadat, worship, actions, put them to one side. But to become the mahbub of Allah, the beloved of Allah, you can only become the beloved of Allah when you imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you pray salah, lengthy salah, great recitation of Quran, you do tahajjud salah in the night, you do hajj in a nice way, you do umrah in a nice way, high grade ibadah, high class ibadah, if within that ibadah is not included the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is not close to Allah, it is not accepted by Allah. So the thing that will make us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will make us beloveds of Allah, is only one action, which is the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And shaitan, the accursed and wretched evil iblis, the devil, will make us do all of the actions under the sun which come under the ban of Islam, but he'll say, don't go near the sunnah. Don't practice this one. He'll whisper in your ears. He'll influence us through third parties. The action that is going to take us straight automatically to the nearness of Allah, automatically, he will take us away from the action which is the imitation, the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The action that will take us close to Allah, make us beloved of Allah, is the sunnah. And the action that will take us far from Allah is leaving the sunnah. The more a person practices sunnah, the more he gets closer to Allah. And the more he gets far from the sunnah, if he or she, a brother or sister, goes far from the sunnah, doesn't practice the sunnah, then he goes or she goes far from Allah and goes further away from Allah's love. So the condition, the criterion, the pivot point of becoming the beloved of Allah, you have to grab hold of one action, which is imitate and obey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If some whispering comes, if some influence, external influence comes to divert you, don't follow it. This is proven. If an action is proven that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced this, that's it. End of story. We don't need any further proof beyond this. And don't think, what reward am I going to get? What is the thawab I'm going to get? There's one reward, which is that you are becoming straight away the beloved of Allah. And that's all we need. We don't need nothing else. But if I'm practicing all of the actions A to Z which are defined by Islam, but I am lazy, negligent, ashamed, or forced, or whatever, to not to imitate the sunnah, to practice the deeds of Islam according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I should consider and understand that I'm going far from Allah and far from Allah Ta'ala's love. So it's one thing we have to grab in our fist. After iman, after bringing about iman in the heart, the biggest deed of a Muslim is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not restricted to any one deed. It is open for all of the deeds in the definition of Islam. One example, two example, or many examples I could give on this. Do we have to find an example to understand this point? That for example, a person, can he practice any action in Islam and imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I'll give you the example. Not one, not two, more than 100,000 sahaba. What was their lifetime? What was their mannerism? What was their pastime? What was their hobby? I'm not speaking about the high level, highest grade level sahabi. Take any sahabi from the more than 100,000 blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the law of Allah, that from the companions down to us today, there's one law. Who is the mahbub of Allah? Who is the beloved of Allah? Who imitates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the same principle from day one. And the blessed companions, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah says, I am pleased with them and they are pleased with me. And what was the reason for that? There was one reason. reason? Because they imitated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no other reason that made them on this rank, gave them this station, this level. There was one reason. Allah Ta'ala said, one reason alone. And that's it. I'll give you an example. I don't have to give an example. But if we take the Sahaba Ikram, the Blessed Companions, thousands of examples of how they were close to Allah, became the beloved of Allah, due to following and imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How they would give the whole time of their life for this. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. I'll give you a small example. It's a big example, but I'll say it's a small example. What a high grade Sahabi was. Look at his knowledge. Look at his rank. Look at his status. And he was departing from Makkatul Mukarramah, and somebody was with him on that journey. He went a bit further on the journey, and then he came back. And he came back on that path, and there was a tree, and he rubbed his body on that tree, or that boulder. And he continued. The other companion who was with him said, Hazrat, I didn't understand this, what you just did. Physically, you were traveling, we were walking on the path, you came back, did a U-turn, and you rubbed your body on that tree or boulder. What is this action that you've just done? He said, when I passed through here, then I thought in my mind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he passed by this exact location, and his blessed body rubbed on this tree trunk, and I didn't want to leave this sunnah, or to disregard this sunnah, so I came back, rubbed my body on that same place, and I fulfilled the sunnah. Subhanallah. He was a sahabi, companion. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh, radiallahu anhu. He got a horse, and he was riding around on the horse. Yeah, giving it the rounds. Someone asked, Hazrat, what is this action you're doing, that you are doing? He said, I don't even know what this is, but I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this, that he sat on the saddle and he was going round on a circuit with his horse, and I'm fulfilling that sunnah, so I don't leave it before I pass. So that fulfilled the sunnah in my life once. He didn't think, why did he do it, why he did it, how did he do it, what was the reason, what was the benefit, what is the ibadah, what was the worship, nothing. Just that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, Amirul Mu'mineen, and he was in front of the Kaaba, and Hajri Aswad, just before kissing it, he said, you are nothing in front of Allah, in front of me, I don't know you, I don't know what is your status, oh Hajrul Aswad, I'm only kissing you for one reason, that hey, I saw my holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing you, and I'm now imitating him, and emulating him, and following his practice. All of the Hajj, Sa'i, doing Sa'i, Safa, Marwa. Which intellect tells us run from here, Safa to Marwa, 7 times. The whole Hajj is Sunnah. It is imitation. Of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, whatever we see, the blessed lives of the Sahaba. Look at the Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. In none of the examples of their lives, if there's a Wali of Allah, or he became a Wali, or a friend of Allah, or close to Allah, or sincere, or became the Qurb of Allah, attained the Nearness of Allah, Wahid, one reason that gave them this station. There was no other quality, no other practice, no speech, nothing. There was one quality in their lives of our pious predecessors that made them close to Allah, which was imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today, the biggest deception of shaitan, the biggest whispering of shaitan, is that he makes us do actions. He makes us practice. We have fasted today for hours. We stayed up all night long. We worshipped. We prayed. I'll go on 10 umrahs. I'll do 10 hajj in my life. What are you telling me to do? Now look here, my friends. We can imagine here. We can calculate here. We can determine here that that action that will make us close to Allah, take us near to Allah, link us to Allah. Why have we stopped doing that? It is very clear. Who is it? The enemy has stopped us doing the action. There's a nice thing. It's a good action, a good amal, a good deed, and something stopped us from practicing that. And there's only one excuse we make. We said, oh, we don't know. We can't practice this. But we should say as believers, we don't know nothing. We're not interested in nothing. We are practicing this sunnah. Why? Because fattabi'uni, Allah said in Quran, that if you follow this practice, you will become my beloved. I ask you a question, or you ask me the same question. Why do you pray salah? That you pray salah for your shop? To succeed as a businessman? For health? Or have you come here just for nothing? Or do you enjoy praying salah? Or do you enjoy it? Or do you feel satisfaction or contentment? No, you'll say one answer to me. That I'm praying salah, sujood, ruku, prostration. For this one reason that Allah becomes pleased with me. I recite Quran. Why do you recite Quran? Why do you do hifz of Quran? Why are you memorizing the Quran? Why do you read Quran all night long? Why do you read tahajjud all night long? Why do you do the tasbihat of dhikr all the time? All of your life, your mamulat, take the deen. There's one reason, one philosophy behind this, one logic. Every insan, every individual has to give the same answer. Why are you practicing the deeds of Islam? For the sake of Allah. To please Allah. That's why we're doing all these actions. Why are we sitting here today? To please Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala says that if you really are practicing Islam, you're a believer because you want to please me, then why don't you follow that pathway, that methodology that I'm giving you automatically to become close to me? Allah says, I told you, فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you imitate my holy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I will start to love you, Allah says. Straight away. Such an easy formula. So my friends, if a person starts and he resumes the path of attaining Allah Ta'ala's nearness, then he should follow this path. Allah said that from day one, shaitan promised Allah, I will not let one of your creation, not one of your servants get near to you. And the action that he knows that he will take us far from, because he knows that we will get close to Allah if we practice that. So understand straight away, the action that he will take us far from, he will stop us doing, he will refrain us from doing, is the practicing, the imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knows that through that practice, we will get close to Allah, and we will attain Allah's pleasure. We want to please Allah, we want to become friends of Allah, brother, sister, male, female, all of us want to attain Allah Ta'ala's qurb. Why have we come here? Why are we doing dhikr? Why are we doing the dhikr of Allah? Why are we remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay, fine, we want to attain paradise and we want to get far from Jahannam. But my friends, there's a limit to that also. Why are we practicing Islam? Because we want Allah's pleasure. And when you get Allah's pleasure, then only will you get paradise. Then only will you be safe from Jahannam. So every action we are doing, verily, really, in reality, we are practicing Islam to please Allah. Either we imitate His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and please Allah, or astaghfirullah, Muslims say so easily today, this is not important. This is not necessary. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says it's not necessary to imitate my Prophet, to practice one sunnah, to say against one sunnah. How dare we say that is insignificant, it is small. One sunnah of Rasulullah that will cool the whole of Jahannam, that will please Allah. We say it's insignificant. This is our standard. This is our basis of Islam today. That one action that will give us the nearness to Allah, the love of Allah, we say it's insignificant. We say it's not important. Oh brother, why are you doing this? It's not necessary to do this. Just leave these things. Allah says, due to the sunnah, I will make you my beloved mahbubin. And we say that they are small actions. We don't need to practice them. There's no value to them. Such thinking, such thoughts, such concepts, such ideology. In reality today, this is the shaitan that has spread the disease and the poison in the minds of the Muslimin today. He has grabbed hold of our lives today. He's taken control of our lives. The shaitan knows that the masjid is empty. Our mosques are without ruh. They have no spirits. Our prayers have no ruh. Our recitation of Quran has no ruh, has no spirit, has no essence, until and unless the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into these actions. Let's go towards the masjid. Shaitan will take us to the masjid. He'll take us to worship. He'll make us do the high grade actions of worship. He'll make us stay awake up all night and do qiyamul layl and sayam and fasting. But until and unless the sunnah comes into those actions, the shaitan, the cursed shaitan, knows that those deeds will not be accepted. And when will our eyes open? When will we understand? When we die, we go to the grave, we stand on the day of Hashr. Allah says one ayah, Surah Al-Imran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّنُ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, such a small verse, easy to understand verse. Literally it means that if you want my love, then you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I will love you, Allah says. And so easy is this formula. In one action you take of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his finger like this, and we raise our fingers like this, the blessed scholars, the ulama ikram have said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one sunnah, if you follow it, you imitate it. Just like he did qailula in the afternoon, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept after Zuhr for some time. If you follow that sunnah, it is greater than reciting 10,000 nafl salah, more than thousands of nights of ibadah. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this action, and you are doing it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You're imitating, you get the reward. If you say, no, it's not important, what's the point of doing this? My friends, we need to crush this ideology, these thoughts, that leaving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will attain a success, and we will get thawab, and we think that we will get it. No, my friends, by leaving the sunnah will be punishment, and by following the sunnah will be great rewards. My friends, the first deception that a person is drowning in, and we think we have a desire, we want to become the friends of Allah, the beloved of Allah, the walis of Allah. This is impossible for a man or a woman or a brother or sister to attain this without the sunnah. Any Muslim who does not have this desire to become a wali, every brother, every sister, every man, every woman, we should all have this same goal, that we want to become the mahbub of Allah. We want to become the wali of Allah. We want to become the mahbubin of Allah. Allah, we are striving to become this before we die. This is our objective of life. This is our purpose. This is our mission. This is our goal. Allah, we want to attain your nearness, your qurb, your pleasure. This is the maqsad, the purpose of every single Muslim who is living at this moment in time. And the wali of Allah, every one of us can become a wali of Allah. I'll give you an example. Imam Rabbani Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Sarhindi Faruqi Rahmatullah Alayh. You know him, his status. He was given this great title that before him no other wali was given this title. He is a Shaykh from the family of the Naqshbandi Shaykhs. And Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he is from the family of the Faruqi. He is the descendant, direct of Hazrat Umar Faruq radiallahu anhu. That's why his name is Faruqi. And he did the same work as Hazrat Umar Faruq did. He revived the Sunnah. He did the Ahya of the Sunnah. That's why he is called Imam Rabbani Mujaddid Al-Aftani. Look at his time. This was Shah-e-Akbar, the Mughal emperor at that time. This was the Akbar, the Mughal dynasty at that time. You can read the history in India, the collective India at that time. Deen was finished, modernism had come, and haram actions were being performed. And Allah Ta'ala sent his wali to that place. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Farhuki Sarhindi Rahmatullah was born. Sarhind Sharif is a place in India. When Hazrat Shaykh Farhuki Sarhindi Ahmad Faruqi was born, and then he in his life was given the title Mujaddad Al-Aftani. Now remember, a Mujaddad comes every 100 years from the awliya Allah, from the friends of Allah. But Mujaddad Al-Aftani, the Mujaddad after 1,000 years, Alif is 1,000, Thani is years. So he, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, gave this glad tiding that after me will come a person who will revive my deen after 1,000 years, and that title is Mujaddad Al-Aftani. All the scholars of the time, from whichever sector they were, they all agreed, they did ijma, consensus, that he was Mujaddad Al-Aftani. What deed did he do to get this title? So what action did he do? Did he open a madrasa? Did he open a Darul Uloom? What action did he do that he attained this title from all of the people at that time and after him? They agreed that he is Mujaddad Al-Aftani, that he has this title till the day of judgment, and his face, his noor will spread. This zikr we're doing today of the Naqshbandi chain has come due to his face. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the world have become close to Allah due to the face of Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani rahmatullahi. What a great wali, what a great sheikh. What was his style? What was the core reason that he became what he became, Mujaddad Al-Aftani? One day he was ill, he was on the bed, and he was about to go to Allah Ta'ala's mercy towards Allah. He was so ill he couldn't even get up physically. He couldn't sit up on his bed. Suddenly he got up and he said to his students, bring a child to me quickly, a young child who's been born recently, bring him to me. And they said, what is it, Hazrat? Why? So they brought the child. He took the child in his lap and the child urinated. He said, Alhamdulillah, I had not practiced this sunnah before today. Allah, I'm so grateful to you. You've allowed me to fulfill this sunnah. That once a child had gone to Rasulullah s.a.w. onto his lap and he urinated. And in his mind, he did not want to leave this sunnah in his life before he died. And Allah fulfilled his dua. This is his maqam. That's why he was Mujaddad Al-Aftani. Take any wali of Allah. Take any friend of Allah. You will not see some special quality in his life apart from one thing that I've just mentioned. Why did Allah Ta'ala make him close to himself? Due to imitation and obedience to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In every wali of Allah's life, you will see strict obedience to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person leaves the sunnah, goes far from the sunnah, and we think this is deen today, in this day and age, we think furtherance from the sunnah is deen. Remember, the fitna of Islam starts that day when the Muslims of the Ummah say that the deen of Islam is to go far from the sunnah. When the Muslims practice the deeds of Islam without the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they think that this is the nearness to Allah, this is the condition we have to live in, this is what is progressiveness, advancement, then this is the biggest deception, the biggest danger, the biggest fraud, and the biggest fitna of Yawm al-Qiyamah. It will come that day when the Muslimin will say that we can practice Islam without of Rasul, the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ in our deen. When we think that we can exterminate and eliminate the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ from our lives, when we can take the sunnah of Rasulullah out of our lives, and we think that without the sunnah, we can be the walis of Allah, we are the friends of Allah, and we are proud on our kashf and our visions and our ilm and our knowledge and our speeches and our lectures and our lugha and our grammar, and we think that we are close to Allah due to our grammar and learning and knowledge, then this will be the biggest fitna of Islam in that day and age. When we, the people, think that we've got the knowledge of Islam, the ilmiyat of Islam, and the practice of Islam without the ruh of Islam, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember, when a Muslim practices Sunnah, he gets closer to Rasulullah and he gets close to Allah. And when a person goes away from the Sunnah, takes the Sunnah out of his life, then he goes far from Allah and far from Allah's rahmah and far from Allah's mercy. And what is the result of that? Allah's curses and wretchedness. La'natullah. La'natullah. This is a big point, brothers. Big point, my brothers. Which mu'ashara society are we living in today? And the consequences of this we see in our society today. Imitation of Rasulullah ﷺ, following Rasulullah ﷺ, when we get far from that, we see the result of that in this day and age. That acting and practicing far from the sunnah. My friends, obedience to sunnah, going far from it, Allah Ta'ala has given us one big punishment due to that, from the dunya. What is that? Terrorism. Fundamentalism. Extremism. Muslim is a fundamentalist. He's impure. A Muslim kills. He throws bombs. He curses. He loots people. He kills people. Why is this today? Why have we got this title today? We should wake up today and understand the reason for this is nothing else but one. One reason. Because today, our young people in universities and colleges, what has happened to them? What happens to them? The reason is this. That they are brainwashed. And by taking them far from the practice physical of Rasulullah, their minds are brainwashed, and taking them out of the physical and reality practice of Sunnah, of Rasulullah's way, they are given a deen, and they are told that this is deen, Islamic jihad, and their minds are prepared, they are brainwashed, they are sent to other countries to fight, they throw bombs, suicide bombs, they kill people, they destroy nations and countries. This is that nation that is imitation Islam, not real Islam, fake Islam. And they have taken the ruh of Islam out of the deen. They have evaporated the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ out of the deen, out of Islam. They are taken far from the sunnah. Why? Because imitation of the Prophet ﷺ, what does it teach us? Imitation of the Prophet ﷺ teaches us the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ. When we are close to the Prophet ﷺ in practice, in essence, then the akhlaq, his mannerisms, his character, his ways will come into our hearts and lives. Was this the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ? Did he teach us to kill people, bomb people in the name of jihad, to destroy the world? To split nations, to split countries and civilized societies, and to destroy people's lives? Rasulullah taught us that whichever country you live in, have respect for the law, respect for the ways, and don't have bad akhlaq against those people who are not Muslim. Those people who are non-Muslims, have adab, have manners, and present yourself nicely to them in a good way. We've forgotten the ways. Have you forgotten the akhlaq? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq was so great, so elevated. Not just that we are practicing physical worship and ibadah. No, Rasulullah's title was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was mercy to all of mankind. And the basis of his deen, the basis of his life was akhlaq. High, high grade akhlaq. And did Rasulullah ever say, are you non-Muslim? Oh, be gone with you. Or fight with him. Or beat him. No, Rasulullah's akhlaq was so great. Let's read. You read it all the time. You hear it all the time. One old woman from Makkah, and she is about to depart Makkah. She's about to leave. She said, such a man has been born. He speaks about the one God, and he is distributing the dawah of Islam, and I don't want to live near him. But she was against the Prophet ﷺ, and she's getting her goods together. She's about to leave. She has so much luggage, so much belongings, and Rasulullah ﷺ saw this old woman. She's going. He said, oh beloved woman, oh elder woman, you're going somewhere. Can I help you? Can I assist you? And Rasulullah ﷺ took all of that luggage, and all of that way, that journey, she started speaking against Rasulullah. Oh, that man, he's come, he's speaking about God. And Rasulullah helped her to the end. And she said, you have helped me so much, what is your name? And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, my name is Muhammad. Ah, her eyes opened up, you are Muhammad? The person I'm cursing all the way to here? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry. Why are you worried? I am him. And you spoke about me. She said, if you are him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I ask you forgiveness. I want to come into Islam. One waqiyah, one event. His whole life was full of this. That nobody could oppose his akhlaq. Rasulullah, some Jew, a disbeliever, a mushrik, a fire worshipper, Ahlul Kitab, a person of the book. Is there one person who was distressed due to the akhlaq of Rasulullah? Was there anyone who had to take the burden of pain or hurt or crying due to Rasulullah? Was there anyone who lived in the circle of influence of the Prophet who was pained by Rasulullah? Those same people, Kafir, Yahudi, Christians who used to throw stones on the Prophet, who laid thorns and nettles and prickly thorns in his path. Those same people, Rasulullah, when they were ill, he used to go and visit them and ask them, how are you? He would give them gifts. He would serve them. And they were amazed that we used to curse you and swear at you and say, be gone with you, and you are helping us, assisting us. So my friends, my brothers, until we don't have these feelings in our heart and we become busy with bad actions, killing people, fundamentalism, terrorism, extremism and bombs, then we will be far from Rasulullah. So brothers, if we want to save our children from extremism, fundamentalism and terrorism, then it is a lazim, it is fard on us today that we have to rectify our children, we have to give them tarbiyah, we have to give them the training. And what is that training we have to give them? The training of the imitation of the great akhlaq, of the way of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in the life will come the akhlaq of the prophets. Then their manners will be good, their akhlaq will be good, they will love the humanity, they will never say anything against a person who goes to church, they will never set a church on fire, they will never set a place of worship on fire or bombing a place of worship. Why? Because we are Muslims and they're not Muslim. Astaghfirullah. So the person who brought Islam to us in the world, he never said that you have to kill the non-Muslims. He never said that you have to bomb the places of worship of the non-Muslims. This is wrong. This is deception. Rather, this is a great fitna in this day and age. Save your children from this. Don't brainwash their child, because people have been brainwashed. They're exported from here to those countries and they're sent to other countries, do jihad and strive and struggle and kill this many people and you'll get paradise. If you do a suicide bomb and kill this many non-Muslims, astaghfirullah, you will get a palace in paradise. This is a big paradise. You will get paradise. You will get the palaces only when you have the way and the life and the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ in your heart. My friends, get the dua of a kafir. Get the dua, the prayer of a kafir. Why? Because this was the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. He also earned the duas of the kuffar. So my friends, don't break the heart of a person, whether he's a non-Muslim or non-Muslim. And we're destroying their churches, their synagogues, and we're sleeping in our lives peacefully because we think we're Muslims. Astaghfirullah. Today the sunnah has come out of our households. If you yourself want to be saved, and you want to save your younger generation, and you want to take this wretchedness out of our lives, and we want to spread the true essence and peace of Islam in the world, then we have to grab hold of the sunnah in our lives. Our youngsters who have gone to university or college, whose minds are brainwashed, who read things and hear things and they're sent to other countries, there's only one solution. Those youngsters, our young offspring, our younger generation, create a link with them, with such a jamaat, with such a sheikh, with such people who themselves are imitating the sunnah. You yourself will see, as soon as your youngsters, your younger generation, sit like tablighi jamaat, they have the color of the sunnah of Rasulullah. Have you ever heard a tablighi jamaat member that he's throwing bombs? Have you ever seen a person in tablighi jamaat that he goes and burns a church? Have you ever heard a tablighi jamaat brother, he goes and sets fire to a place of worship? Never will you hear it. Never will you have heard of it. Have you ever seen a person who is in tablighi jamaat, or a person who does dhikr of Allah, a sheikh who teaches dhikr of Allah? Have you ever seen a sheikh or a dhakir or a person who's following tasawwuf or sets a church on fire or kills a kafir? Astaghfirullah. No way. Rather, he will say to people, please, please understand the life of the sunnah. And we want to go to paradise. And you, O person, O human being, O creation of Allah, you also go to paradise. You also go to Jannah. So my friends, there's only one solution to save our children, to save our offspring, our younger generation. Just like people have deviated us and our children from the sunnah and made our offspring terrorists, extremists, fundamentalists. We should strive, drag them back to Islam. Teach them sunnah. Teach them the way of the sunnah of Rasulullah. Make them physically, practically, spiritually, emotionally, and ethically. Teach them the sunnah. Do amal on the sunnah. And you see how the akhlaq comes into their life. So do you agree with what I'm saying, my brothers? And all of us have to try this. First, we have to ourselves follow the sunnah. Appearance, libas, eating, drinking, lying down, sitting down, speaking, discussion. Everything should be the imitation of Rasulullah's life. Allah will be pleased, the people of the world will be pleased, you'll get respect in the world. And this is the biggest cure today. That dhikr of Allah brings about change. And I endorse this, and I claim this. And what is that change that will come? Listen clearly. Clearly, the change that comes after doing dhikr of Allah, what is that change? When you do dhikr of Allah, the change that will come in your life will not be negative. It will not go downhill. You won't, after doing dhikr, become a terrorist or a fundamentalist. You won't start to kill people. You won't destroy buildings. No. After doing dhikr of Allah, it is positive change that comes in the life of a Muslim. He becomes aware. He wakes up. He starts to follow Rasulullah's sunnah. He starts to respect people in the country he lives in, Muslim and non-Muslim. He loves everybody around him. He teaches people, gives nasiha to people. And this is called change. Positive change due to the dhikr of Allah. Remembering Allah. So my brothers, the hadith, I was saying that on the Miraj night, when Rasulullah went on the Miraj, what did he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see? He saw a person What was that person? He was immersed in the noor, the light of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was drowning. He was enjoying. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, who is this person? He is in the noor of your arsh. Allah said, no, my Prophet, he is not a Nabi. He must be a great person, Allah, that he's sitting in the light of your throne. Who is this person? Is he a Prophet? Allah said, no, he's not a Nabi. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who can this person be? Is he an angel? Allah said, no, he can't be a human being, can he? Is he an angel, a great angel? Allah said, no, he's not even an angel. So who is this person? Asked Rasulullah ﷺ, that he's on this maqam. He's got such a great station. Allah said, he is that person who in abundance used to remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and did dhikr of Allah on the earth. What did he do? He did the dhikr of Allah. So it's explained, that person who does abundance of dhikr, what does he attain? He gets such a great character that you see him like he is an angel on the earth. And people say, is he a prophet? Is he a good person? Who says that after doing dhikr you become a thief? Who says after doing dhikr you become a terrorist? Who said after doing dhikr you become an extremist? Our religion, Islam, says that when you do dhikr of Allah, your maqam becomes so great that he becomes so beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah, that in the eyes of Allah he is like a prophet, and he is immersed in the light of Allah Ta'ala's arsh, and the people of the hereafter see him as an angel. So tell me, a person who says that dhikr of Allah is bid'ah, is innovation, close dhikr, take this dhikr out of the masjid, what will that person be? What will be his position of his iman? You decide yourselves. Tell me, I'll tell you another hadith. It is stated about who? The person who does the dhikr of Allah in abundance. And further, Allah said, the person who does Allah Ta'ala's dhikr in abundance, in this condition, in that same way, and his heart always feels like he wants to go to the masjid. So dhikr and feeling and going to the masjid is compatible, interlocked. In the same hadith, there's the mention of doing the dhikr of Allah. And in the same hadith is the love, the attachment to the masjid. And that's why the dhikr of Allah was made for the masjid. And a person who says that take the dhikr out of the masjid, how dare you have this gathering of the dhikr in the masjid? These people who do dhikr are bidatis, they're innovators. Take it out of the masjid. How dare they say this? Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Miraj saw the person who does the dhikr of Allah in abundance and the world in the masjid. And in the masjid, and he has the love, the attachment for the masjid. The Rasulullah saw on the night of Miraj that that person is drowning in the noor of Allah Ta'ala's arsh. This is hadith. Should we say, speak further? It is stated further, a person who does the dhikr of Allah in abundance and has love and attachment to the house of Allah. And the third thing he mentioned in the hadith, he, that person or she, who has akhlaq and conduct and manners with his parents. Now relate this hadith together. Now let's bring the three points together. Look at the qualities and characteristics. Doing the dhikr of Allah in abundance and attached to the masjid, and a person who has the akhlaq with the parents. This point of akhlaq has been the ashar, the hint to the parents. But this is general also. The person who has akhlaq, then tell me, what is the great action of dhikr? What is the maqam of that person who does the dhikr of Allah? When he does dhikr, the asal dhikr, then he sits in the masjid and does dhikr of Allah in abundance. Wherever he does dhikr of Allah in abundance, then he creates an attachment to the masjid. Then tell me, all of the actions that are done in the masjid, he will love those actions. Recitation of Quran, Taleem, Tabligh, Da'wah, dhikr of Allah, prayer, salah, tabligh, recitation of Quran. So all the actions that are done in the masjid, and that mu'min will start to love those actions. Why? Because he is doing dhikr of Allah in abundance. And the person who is far from the masjid, who is far from prayer, who is far from tabligh, who is far from recitation of Quran, far from the deen. So the first action he did which caused those consequences is that he is far from dhikr. But if he starts to do dhikr in abundance, he will run to the masjid. And when he runs to the masjid, he will get the treasures of the masjid, and he will start loving all of the practices of the worship of the masjid. Is there bigger cure than this? Due to the dhikr of Allah, if we want our children to go on tabligh, if you want to do tabligh and you want your children to go on tabligh, then how do you start that work? First, you put him in the line of dhikr. When you enter him into the line of dhikr, what will he start to love? He will run to the masjid. When he starts running to the masjid, he will pray salah, he'll go on tabligh, he'll recite Quran, he will do heaps of Quran. So what thing has brought this? The dhikr of Allah has brought this in his heart. So is the dhikr of Allah, does it stop us from doing this, or does it bring into our life? You decide yourself. Does the dhikr of Allah make you pray salah, or does it make you leave salah? Does it make you tabligh or leave the tabligh? Does it make you recite Quran or leave the Quran? Look at the deception of shaitan. No. Don't do dhikr. Oh, you can't go on tabligh then. Oh, don't do dhikr, you'll leave the Quran. Oh, don't do the dhikr, or you'll leave the deen of Allah, the ilm of Allah. Allah's servants, what is this hadith telling you? Dhikr of Allah will take you to the masjid. All the deeds of the masjid you start practicing. And on top of that, you'll get the akhlaq of Rasulullah. Today, people complain, my children don't value me, they don't appreciate me. Do this cure, that cure, making organizations and lectures and conferences and papers and consultation that this child doesn't love his parents. But when Rasulullah SAW counsels us, what do we understand? Do the dhikr of Allah, bring the dhikr of Allah into your children, and automatically he'll start to have adab for your parents, the muashara, the surroundings, the community. He'll start loving everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? So brothers, the dhikr of Allah is a cure. It will give us the qurb of Allah, the love of Allah. Bring your children towards the dhikr of Allah. This is the wahid, one tariqah of coming onto the path of Islam. And every action of the deen of Islam, the worship, practices, whatever, our hearts are broken, but definitely come, sit in the dhikr of Allah. These majalis, these gatherings are great, great ni'mah. Value them, appreciate them. The gatherings of dhikr are a ni'mah of gift of Allah. And if people are speaking against the gathering of the dhikr of Allah, then understand that this is shaitan. These are the words of shaitan. This is deception. To understand the deen of Allah, to understand the deen of Allah, then look at the lives of our aqabareen. Did they do dhikr or not? Did they sit in the masjid and do dhikr or not? Did they bring dhikr into their lives or not? Look at the aqabareen, our pious predecessors. Look at the lives of every one of them, and you'll learn that this is a great deception. That a person today stands and says, don't do dhikr in the masjid. He's not serving the masjid. Rather, he's a hypocrite of the deen, and he's making people go away from the deen. May Allah give us all the tawfiq, the words that I have stated today. May I be able to practice them, and may Allah give you the tawfiq and the will and the ability to practice them also. Now let's go towards the dhikr of Allah. Recite the Durood Sharif.